Often when people give final instructions and they know that they have something final to tell you, they want to give you something that you will remember and something that is important, that as they bring their final words to you, maybe as a father knowing that he's about ready to pass on and going to give to his son final words of instruction, or a general giving final instructions to his army. Paul, as we get to the end of the book, and now we're in almost the last final verses of this journey, and I want to thank you for sticking with me. This was a long journey through Romans. But as we now get towards the end, Paul is giving some final instructions that he wanted the church at Rome, and us particularly today as believers, to remember. As he was bringing everything to a summary of all that he taught us about the righteousness of God and how to live that out in our life and how to apply that. And last week we saw that he'd come into chapter 16 there with this long list of names. And from those list of names we learned that no one is insignificant to the Lord, that he knows your name and he loves you personally and he cares for you deeply. But in the long list of names that he gives, right in verse 17 through 20, he stops and a long list of names, and he's going to pick them back up again as we saw in verse 22, with some final instructions that he wanted to share with his people. And as I imagine, as Paul was writing these final greetings to those that we looked at last week, the Holy Spirit just inspired and laid on Paul's heart a love for every one of those people he mentioned. And as he was thinking down through that list of all the words of greeting, the Holy Spirit put in his mind, I want to give them some final instructions and warning before I close this book. As something I want them to take with them and to remember, and some final things to hold on to. And this morning we want to discover briefly three final instructions that the Lord gives us through Paul to apply to our life this morning as we learn from him. And the first one, they're very practical instructions for us. And the first one is to be alert. Paul was warning those that he was writing to, and in the Romans, and to us particularly, about the importance of being alert or being aware. Notice he says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out or be alert, to be aware, be on your guard for something. That word watch out is the same word that was used to describe a watchman on a wall. Well, a watchman on the wall or a sentry in those times, there would be guard towers, and that person would be stationed at the wall to keep a watch out for the enemy or anybody that was coming on the horizon. And if they saw anybody coming on the horizon, they would shout and give a warning to the people in the city to prepare them for attack. And they would keep an eye out to warn. That's the same word that Paul's using here to describe that watch out or to be alert. He's saying, be alert, be on your lookout for something. And Paul says, be willing and be able to spot something, being alert so that you can spot, in this case, false teaching. He was warning the Romans, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are, notice, contrary to the teaching you receive from us. Paul said, be alert, because there's going to be a lot of false teaching, and we have to be able to spot it. And look at this picture. Can you spot the lamb in with the wolf? The wolf in with the lambs? They can be subtle. And the false teaching that can come into the church can be subtle, and it can deceive. And so Paul says, be aware and be alert, because there's always going to be those who are going to try to deceive and take people away, even in the church, and go after the flock. And so you've got to be aware of that. And how do we identify a wolf in sheep's clothing? Can't tell from the outside, because Jesus said, inwardly they're like ravaging wolves. So he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware. And watch out for false teachers. They come to you dressed as sheep, but on the inside, they are ravaging wolves. The warning about being alert for false teaching is ever true, and is one of the major themes of the New Testament. And on the back of your outline, I want you to turn it over and write down some of this I'm going to give you, because you want to see how important it was of guarding against false teaching. Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 to 5. He said, "Watch that no one deceives you, because," he said, "many will come in my name claiming to be the Christ." And he said, "They'll deceive many, and if it wasn't possible, they deceive even the elect, Gary." But the deception and many false teachers, and Jesus warned us. And if we get closer to the return of Christ, he said, there's going to be even more and more false teachers and deception arise. So Jesus warned his disciples. Paul warned the elders in the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31, as he was meeting together with them after he had spent 3 years with them and had taught them 3 years what it meant to be followers of Christ and taught them biblical doctrine and truth. He had wrote a book to them, the book of Ephesians, but now he was leaving them. And he said to them, if you read those chapters later on this week, those verses, he said, "I know that after I leave, false teachers are going to come in. And they're not going to spare the flock, and they're going to ravish you. So be on your guard and be prepared." Paul warned Timothy about false teachers in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Where he said, "The day will come when men will not want to put up with false, with true teaching, and will gather around themselves people who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Not the truth of the word of God, but what they want to be told." We're living in that day today, friends, aren't we? Where a lot of churches are being told what people want to hear. And Paul said, that's coming. That day's coming, so be aware of it. There's always going to be false teaching. Be aware, spot it. Be able to know it. Paul wrote to the Colossian church to correct false teaching in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. There had been false teaching that had permeated that church, and Paul wrote to them to correct the gospel of what true faith in Christ is about. Paul wrote to the Galatians to correct false teachers. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, Paul said to them, "I am astonished how quickly," he said, "you have forsaken the true gospel and gone after a perversion of the gospel." And he said, "If anybody preaches anything other than what I have preached, even if as an angel," he said, "may that person be condemned." And so he wrote false teaching that had come into the church of Galatians. At that point, what they were teaching was you weren't saved by faith alone. You had to add works to it. And Paul was teaching to correct that. John wrote 1 John to correct false teaching in the church. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 19. John says, "You had heard that the Antichrist is coming." John says, the Antichrist is already here. And he said, "They've gone out from us, and they're trying to deceive you." And so he wrote to correct false teaching. Peter wrote his epistles to correct false teaching. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 and 13 to 21. That whole chapter deals with false teaching. And Peter says, be on your guard and be alert, because they're among us and they're in the church, and be aware. Jude wrote his letter to correct false teaching. The entire book of Jude is about that, and about false teachers that had permeated the church of that time. And Jude was writing to correct false teaching. And of course, Jesus rebuked several of his churches in the Revelation for false teaching. So you get a picture there that we need to be aware of false teachers. The whole New Testament warns us to be on our guard and protect. Because Paul's final instruction here was be on alert to those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way and things that are teaching you contrary to what God has taught us in his word. Because there are many false teachers. There have been many cults and heretics and false teachers and heresies throughout the history of the church. And the church has dealt with that for many, many years, since the beginning. And a lot of false cults and teaching today. And today, there are many false teachers in the church. And so Paul says we need to be aware. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 says, stay alert, watch out. For your greatest enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, John says, this is how you can recognize a false teacher. And he gives us a way. And he said, the spirit of truth that is revealed, and anybody that claims what they teach about Jesus and who he is. And he gives us a way that we can recognize false teaching when we see it. So Paul, as he says, to stay alert so that we can spot false teaching, gives us several ways that we can tell that. And he says in verse 17, watch out for those who cause division, because false teachers cause division. And they come in and they grasp people around themselves or what they are trying to teach. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Paul warned Timothy about that. He said, they worm their way into homes. And they come and they try to divide Jew one against the other by what they teach, because they gather people against themselves and a following for themselves. Many, you all know that my dad was a pastor, and he was a pastor in the United Methodist Church, and that was the denomination I grew up in. And sad to say, the denomination I grew up in today is facing a major, major division and split over false teaching and false doctrine that was allowed to permeate in the church. And Paul says that's what happened. They caused division. He said, watch out and be secure so you know and are alert that you can spot the truth from the lie. They caused division, but they also bring destruction. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 17, 1 through 17, you can write these verses down. I'm not going to refer to them, but you can write these down and read them later. But in that chapter, Paul talks about how the false teachers are doomed for destruction. And he said, just as if God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, he's not going to spare the false teachers. Peter says, if God didn't spare the world through the flood, those that teach falsely someday will face judgment and destruction. And it is assured, they bring destruction and devastation even within churches as they try to destroy people's lives, to bring people after themselves. And they use deception. Paul says here, they cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. Obstacles there causing people to tremble and fall. And I looked what that word obstacle means. And it's the word that means the bait for a trap. It's a trigger for a trap where someone goes into the trap and it traps them and falls on them and then are trapped and caught. And Paul said that's what false teachers do. They try to entice people by what sounds good. You know, in so many of the cults and false teachings will put another element of truth in scripture, a scriptural truth in there to make it sound convincing. But then they entrap us into that and we're caught. They use deception. Jesus said, watch out that we're not deceived. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, Paul says, talking about the false teachers, he said they practice deception and they're deceivers. And he said, no doubt, because he said Satan himself masquerades himself as an angel of light. He makes himself look good in order to deceive us. So be aware so that we can spot false doctrine. And how do you know the difference between the truth and the falsehood? We got to study the falsehood, the truths, and know the truth so well that we can spot the falsehood when somebody's not teaching the truth, right? That's how they recognize a counterfeit bill. They learn what the good bill is so that they can spot a false one. And the more we know of the truth of God's word, we can spot when someone is teaching in a way that is contrary to God's truth. So be alert, stay away, alert, so you can spot false teachers. And it also says so we can stay away from false teachers. Notice what he says here in verse 17. He said, watch out for these people. But then how's he end verse 17? He says, keep away from them. Keep away from false teachers. Don't get caught up in them. Stay away from that false teaching and go to the truth. so that we as well are not caught up in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Paul says to Timothy, he says, stay away from those people that are teaching falsehood. Be aware and stay away from the truth, from those who are trying to deceive. And in 2 John chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, John was writing to the church there talking about people who are entertaining false teachers in their house. And have you ever had a Jehovah Witness come and knock on your door? Or a member of a cult come and knock on your door and you wonder, should I invite that person in and have a conversation with them? Should I try to convince them of the truth? John tells us, don't even waste your time. Don't invite them into your house. Don't keep away from those who bring falsehood, because they are so convinced and so deceived by the enemy, you're not going to convince them. And those in Jehovah Witnesses and cults are so taught how to twist the scripture to their understanding that they won't even accept the truth. So he says, keep away from them. Don't welcome them into your house. Don't entertain false teaching. Just dismiss it, recognize it for what it is, so that we ourselves cannot be caught up into that deception. So Paul says, first, stay alert so you can spot false. The second is be discerning. In verse 19, he says, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. If ever we need a time of discernment, it's now, because there is so much false teaching in the church. We need to be discerning, be able to tell the truth from the lie. Discern, the word discern means to see and understand the difference, to make distinction and to discern between good and evil, truth and falsehood, and to be able to tell the difference and discern, make that choice, what is true, what is good, what is evil. Now, in our world today, things are so blatant, it's not hard to tell. But with that false teaching, though, that's where we need the discernment, be able to tell clearly. And we need to be discerning so we can walk in obedience. And Paul said, I have heard, everyone has heard about your obedience. And he said, I'm full of joy with you. When Paul heard about the church at Rome, he heard about their obedience to the scripture, the obedience to the teaching of the Lord, and he was blessed by that. And he knew that they had not been caught up in deception at this point. And so he's warning them, stay on guard. And we need to be discerning of the truth so we can walk in the truth. The scripture says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth and walking in obedience to the Lord. And we need wisdom so we can, discernment so we can grow in wisdom. Paul says here, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil, to be able to discern the difference. And James says there's two different kinds of wisdom that people follow. There's the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the word. And we're not to be caught up in following the wisdom of the world. We're to follow the wisdom of the word. And we need discernment to be able to know that so we can grow in that wisdom. And the Bible says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning and the source of all wisdom. That's where true wisdom is found. And it comes in him, and it comes through knowing him and that relationship with him. So we need discernment to grow in the wisdom and the truth of God so we can walk in obedience. And the third final instruction is to be confident. I love how Paul ends this. In verse 20, he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And do we have an amen to that? We're living in a world where it seems like things get more perverse, especially, I'm just going to be frank here, I hate the month of June. I just hate this pride stuff and this perversion that they're cramming down us. And it seems like every year it gets more and more perverse. Did anybody see what happened at the LA Dodgers this week? And what they were doing out there and the perverseness they were celebrating? And we say, Lord, how long is this going to go on? But he says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. Do we have an amen to that? And so be confident, because his peace is with us, the God of peace. He identifies himself as the God of peace. John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And he says in John 16:33, "Be at peace, because I have overcome the world." And his peace sustains us even in those hard times, even in the times of immorality that we're seeing. We can be confident because his peace is with us, and it's a peace that is abiding. It's a peace that passes all human understanding that the world cannot understand or comprehend or know, because it's the peace of God himself. And we can be confident because the victory is assured. God will crush Satan under our feet. The victory is assured. It was promised back in Genesis chapter 3:15, when after the fall, whenever Adam and Eve had fallen into sin and plunged all of mankind into this brokenness and into this mess that we're in, God then said to Satan, he said, "I will put enmity between your seed and hers. You will strike at his heel, but he will crush your head." And Satan knew from that point in the garden, and he knew that his destiny determined was determined, and he tried to exalt himself higher than God in eternity past. And when that didn't work, and he was cast down to the earth, and has been gone after man ever since, God determined the day is coming, Satan, when you will be crushed forever. And the victory was won on the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says that Jesus triumphed over him with the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, that's when the battle was won. And that's when Satan was crushed. The final blow happened in the resurrection. But we know that the victory is coming, because his day will come. It says God will crush Satan under your feet. His day will come. Then that's talking about the day of the Lord, when Jesus will return. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, it talks there about the false teachers and all their destruction, that their day will come. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, it says that Satan is furious, and he's filled with fury because he knows his time is short. And he knows what has been determined about him. He knows that the war is already won. He knows he's already defeated. He knows that he will be crushed for all eternity. But the closer he gets to that, the more furious and angry he is getting, because he knows the destiny that is determined. And no matter how much he tries to fight, he knows he will not win. We've read the end of the book, friends. We win. And we are on the winning side. And his day will come, and the Lord will return. And in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10, it says Satan will be cast into the lake of fire for all time. His final destruction. God has crushed him, and we know that he will. So as dark as things get, or as discouraged as we may try to be, or however hard things are, know that, be confident, because we are on the winning side. And his day, the Lord's days will come, and his grace is sufficient. He ends this by saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you." God's grace be with you. And the Lord reminded Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when he was going through his time of infirmity, where three times he prayed that the Lord would remove that, and God said no, but he said his grace is sufficient for you. And Paul learned that even in the midst of hardship, God's grace was sufficient. And God's grace is with us. And that sufficient means it's more than enough. It's not just enough. It's more than enough in those times to meet us through. And his grace in time of need. So be alert, because there are false teachers out there, and even in the churches today, trying to deceive us and twist the truth of God's word. So be alert. Be discerning, because we need to be able to discern the falsehood from the truth so we can walk in obedience. And be confident, because the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. He has won the war, and the better day is coming, and we are assured of that. His peace is with us now and forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It gives us some instruction for living. And as Paul was bringing this book to a close, he wanted his dear friends at Rome to have some final instructions on how to live their life, and us as well. Lord, help us to always be alert, because our enemy, the devil, is out there like a raging lion seeking whom he may devour. And he is so subtle in how he twists the truth. Even as he quoted it to you in the temptation, he quoted the word of God to you, but twisted it even to try to deceive and cause Christ to fall. And he is so deceptive in that way. And so, Lord, we need to know the truth and be aware of what is going on and know your word and your truth so well that we can spot the wolf among us that may try to deceive us and lead us away. And Lord, give us discernment in you and the truth of your word, that as we grow in your wisdom, godly wisdom, that we can understand and see, discern the evil from the truth, the falsehood from the truth, so that we can walk in obedience and in obedience to the truth. And Lord, may we be confident in you, knowing that your peace is with us and in us. No matter what we go through and face, you will never leave us. That you have won the war. That it's assured, our victory is assured, your day is coming. And Satan will be crushed and evil will be dealt with. It will not go on forever. But you have won, and we are on the winning side. And in that time, until that time, your grace is sufficient for us. Your grace is there in time of need to carry us and sustain us when we fall, when we need encouragement, when we need lifted up. Just a reminder of your grace that knows no limits or bounds. So thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. Give us discernment and wisdom and truth that walk in your way and in your truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom we pray. Amen.